Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you a message I like to call When God Rakes Your Roots. In Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 6, we find this parable of Jesus. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down." Now, what was the purpose that this keeper of the vineyard wanted to do by digging around this fruitless fig tree? His purpose was very simple. He wanted to cause the fig tree to bear fruit. Sometimes when God is working in our lives, it's very painful. It may feel uncomfortable. It may be literally like someone's digging at your roots. And when God wants to touch the roots in your life, those hard attitudes, those things in the very depths of our spirit, we can believe the Word of God that says God is good all of the time. But Romans 11:22 actually reminds us, "Behold the goodness and the severity of God." You know, there's a certain severity when God is working on you and trying to get out some root hard attitudes in your life. But you have to trust that God is good, and His purpose in wanting to dig around and get to those roots is He wants to cause you to become fruitful. That is His purpose in raking at your roots. Another purpose God has when He's working on those roots or heart attitudes is He wants to bring you into unity with His heart on all issues of your life. In Isaiah 55:8, the Lord said to His people, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." And God wanted His thoughts to be the same as the thoughts of the people, or the thoughts of the people to have the same thoughts He had. And yet, He was telling them it was not so. God wants to bring you and I to a place where our thoughts and God's thoughts are the same. And yet, there oftentimes we think our thoughts are the same as God's, and yet they are not. And God will expose false thinking and wrong attitudes and wrong heart attitudes, these roots in our lives, if we'll allow Him to do the work. But He'll never go after your roots without your permission. We see this example in the story of the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17. "Now as he was going on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these I've observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." What happened with the rich young ruler? Jesus pointed out a bad root in his life, and he would not let Jesus deal with it. What was that root? In 1 Timothy 6:10, it tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. And though this young man claimed he had kept all the commandments since he was a child, didn't impress Jesus because he was able to look right through him and point out to him a root in his life that was going to cause him trouble the rest of his life and would prevent him from bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And by pointing that root out, the man withdrew and went away grieved. Will you too go away grieved if the Lord points out a root in your life? You know, it's never a fruit problem with us as Christians. It will always be a root problem. God wants you to allow him to touch and rake out those bad roots in your life so that you can become fruitful for the kingdom of God. And perhaps you have good roots. You have some good roots in your life. You've planted good seed in your life. You've prayed. That's good seed. You've studied the Word of God. That is good seed. You haven't forsaken the assembling of yourselves together. You've found good Christian fellowship, and you've kept yourself amidst those who believe God with all their heart. That's good seed. Those are all good seeds. And yet, at times, we may find we have planted good seed, and we have some good things coming up, but at the same time, we may find some weeds in our life. When there's a story that Jesus told also of another farm situation, and the servants of a man came to him and said to him, "Master, didn't you plant good seed in your field?" And the master said, "Well, yes, of course." And the servants said, "Well, then why are these weeds coming up?" And right alongside the good wheat that was coming up in his field was coming up darnel, or a type of weed that mimics it or looks like it's the wheat, but it's really a weed. And this master answered, "An enemy has done this." There's an enemy of our souls that seeks to go and plant seed in our lives and allow us, or get us to plant seed in our lives that will grow up alongside the good seed and try to choke it out. God wants to remove those kind of roots in your life that will choke out the good seed you have sown. There's a great illustration from the world of farming that really typifies this kind of a situation. There's a specific grass that's a weed, basically, that's called Johnson grass, and it looks so similar to corn. When the two plants come up, they look almost identical. And the thing about Johnson grass is that the root system will go out and entwine itself around the good corn, and causing the corn to just become just bad. It will become very blighted. It does not grow up healthy, and instead it's choking out the life of that good corn. And the problem with that particular type of weed is that the farmer cannot just destroy it by fumigating it or spraying it without killing the good crop as well. So the farmer will have to wait until winter season before he can deal with it by literally turning up or raking up the roots of that plant and destroying them, because that's the only way the plant can be destroyed, is through this harsh process where the roots are taken out. You know, there's no plant that can be destroyed simply by cutting off the tops of the plant. You have to go after the roots. And a lot of people in their Christian life see weeds coming up in their life, and they just trim the weeds. They don't go after the roots, they trim the weeds. And if you could imagine that the weeds in your life are sinful behaviors that you see occurring in your life, and trimming the weeds or curbing the behavior is simply no permanent solution, because the weeds will keep sprouting up until you destroy that root. And a lot of people will do that. Say the weed that you see in your life is your tendency to watch sensual movies or television or soap operas or reading romance novels or other kinds of trashy sensual material, and you see this and you know you shouldn't do it, and you know as a Christian God doesn't want you to be pouring into your spirit these unclean things that have impure and sensuous, suggestive type of input, and yet you try to stop it. Maybe you throw away your television or cut off the cable or get rid of the books. And yet, if the root of lust is not completely eradicated, the problem that of lust will reappear. And it might reappear in another form. Maybe you aren't watching TV anymore because you got it out of your house, which is a good idea, but that's trimming the weeds. It's not dealing with the root. To get rid of the weed, you must deal with the root. If you don't, that spirit of lust or that root problem of lust will simply sprout up, and it may sprout up as lustful thoughts or daydreaming or fantasizing about a coworker or something of this nature. And that is simply points out that you have not dealt with the root problem. And God doesn't want you to just trim the weeds in your life. He wants to take the rake of the Holy Spirit and go in and take out the roots. God's way for bad roots is root removal, sanctification, where you are cleansed from the inside out. And yet there's systems of religion or legalism that simply are constantly trimming the weeds. Maybe they will impose outward restrictions on behavior. Don't ever go to movies. Don't ever watch TV. Don't do this. Don't do that. With lots of rules and laws, with the idea that by trimming the weeds, a person will stay holy. Holiness is not obtained by trimming the outward activities. It's a heart issue, and it is a heart condition that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you until He brings you to that place where your heart's desire is for holiness, not just trying to hem yourself in with rules and legalism and religious systems that keep you constrained from the outside in. God's work of sanctification is an inside job. He wants to work a work of holiness in your life where you have no desire for the things of the world. And your heart's desire is to be like Jesus. God wants to work on the root problems, those inner sinful motives and attitudes, because they will affect the good roots that you have in your life. They'll choke them out. They'll deprive them of nutrients or stunt the growth of the fruit in your life. But you know, you can be planted by the rivers of water, as we see in Psalm 1 and in Jeremiah 17:7, this promise of being able to bear fruit, your fruit coming forth in every season. That's God's desire. But you'll never have God's intended degree of fruitfulness in your life unless you allow God to touch those roots. What do roots look like, bad roots? You know, did you know that religious activity can have bad roots, or I would say wrong motives? In Acts 5, we see that giving of money had a wrong motive with Ananias and Sapphira. They gave their money to be esteemed by the apostles, to look like they were religious, like they were generous, like they were on the inside crowd of what was happening in this post-resurrection New Testament church. And yet their giving of money had a bad root. They wanted to be esteemed by men. Religious activities can have a bad root or wrong motives. Did you know that seeking of spiritual gifts can be from a wrong motive? In Acts 8, verses 9 through 23, we see the story of Simon the sorcerer. And truly, Simon the sorcerer wanted the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can you give me that? I'll pay for that, he said. And his motive was very impure. So it had a bad root. And yet he wanted to do something religious. How about prayer and fasting? Did you ever think prayer and fasting could have a wrong root? The Pharisees prayed to be seen by men, to appear spiritual, the scriptures tell us. And there are people that go to prayer meetings. They want to be known as an intercessor. They want to be looked to as this great prayer warrior. But their motives are from a bad root. God wants to remove the root and and give you the heart to pray that's after His heart. Have you ever thought of a person who wanted to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist could possibly be from a wrong motive? That certainly can be from a wrong motive. There are people who wanted to be an evangelist so they could become famous. There are people who have sought to become pastors because they wanted to be looked up to or admired by others. One gentleman told a story, he's a minister now, of wanting to become a missionary to India. And he dreamed of it, and he imagined himself. And while he was in Bible college, he researched going to India and all of this until one day the Holy Spirit said to him, "Do you know why you want to go to India?" And of course his response was, "Yes, I want to win souls." And the Holy Spirit said, "No, you want to be a hero. You want to write letters back to the United States on how many souls you've won. You want to be a hero." And the Lord smote him to his heart. He pointed out the wrong root in his life, what was motivating him to seek that career decision. And people have gone after career decisions from a wrong motive. People have sought to become doctors for finances, for money, to become wealthy, rather than a heart to help people, which is what the whole ministry of medicine should be. There are many good works that can have bad roots. Have you ever thought that disciplining your children could be from a bad root? Many, many parents discipline their children for the sole purpose that they do not want their children to embarrass them, so that others will think that they're a wise parent. There are many other types of good works that have bad roots. Have you ever thought that serving other people could be from a bad root? You know, I have observed people who have done service type work, gone into helping the homeless or always wanting to serve the poor, and yet their motive was not very pure. Some of them did it out of guilt or out of shame or other things like that. And God does not want you to be motivated by any root of fear or shame or guilt. Those are things from the enemy of your soul. He wants to motivate you by love, that love is the reason that you do anything in life. And there are many other types of things, such as doing other charitable acts or giving towards others. And many people do this to be thought highly of by others. And also, how about being a hard worker or super efficient in your life? Or being a high producer high accomplishments in your life. If you're driven by a desire or the value that you're valued by your performance, you have a wrong root in being a good worker or a high achiever or super efficient person. God doesn't want you to see your value by your performance. That's the world standard. God wants you to understand that our value comes because He created us in His image and because He loves us, not because of any work that we may do. And there are many other bad roots that are seen in good works. But what's your true motive for things like attending church or for your giving or for your acts of kindness or charity? What is your true motive or your root? Is it out of a Holy Spirit-led decision-making or bathed in prayer or motivated by love? Or is it to please somebody or to avoid displeasing someone or avoid offending someone? Do you go to church because you don't want to offend someone? Do you go to a certain job every day because you want the praise from people that you get from going there? There are many roots that are not from God, that God wants to remove out of your life so you can live a life that is truly motivated by the Spirit of God. But how will we ever know? You know, even Plato, the great philosopher and worldly philosopher, said, "An unexamined life is not worth living." And he said, "Know thyself." But though those are very lofty words, how can we really know ourselves? Well, we know from the scripture in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? So we can't know it in our own ability. Or as a good friend of mine likes to say, you cannot write your own report card. You can't assess yourself accurately. You cannot write your own report card on your spiritual condition. So how do we find out if our roots or our motives are pure in God's sight? God is the one who can search the heart, test the mind, and give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, as Scripture tells us. But David the psalmist had the answer when he prayed, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and test my heart and my mind." He knew that he needed God to do the examination, and all of us need God to search us. David prayed in Psalm 139, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me." You know, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inner depths of his heart. So God can look into your spirit with the Holy Spirit and see what is there. See if your motives for what you're doing and how you're acting and how you're thinking, if they're from God or if they're from a bad root. And if God reveals this to you, he's more than happy to do some digging around, as we saw in that beginning parable. God wants to dig around and put some fertilizer on it and bring forth fruit in your life. A lot of times when people are feeling pressure in life, they blame the devil. They rebuke the devil. They will just read the devil the riot act. Get away from me. This pressure that's coming is from the devil. But not always are the pressures we experience in life or the discomfort level you may have in your life is always necessarily from the devil. God sometimes will allow you to go through a winter season in your life for the express purpose of allowing himself, the Holy Spirit, to point out roots in your life, because it's during that winter season is when the roots can be taken out. A hard freeze will destroy roots, and a winter season can expose and destroy roots in your life. Do you feel like you've been in winter? Sometimes God will make sure your fruitfulness comes to a halt to point out some things in your life that he wants to deal with. If that is the case with you, don't keep rebuking the devil. Ask the Holy Spirit, "Look inside me, search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And ask the Lord to show you. If you will allow God to rake your roots, to touch those roots, to remove those impurities in your life, you'll be able to say, like Job was able to say, "When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That's what God wants. His purpose for raking your roots is very simply, he wants you to come forth as gold, and he wants you to be fruitful in your life. If you feel like you're in a winter season, cry out to God, "Lord, are you trying to tell me something? Are you trying to deal with the root issue in my life that I haven't let you near, like the rich young ruler who went away grieved? He backed away from Jesus when he pointed out the root in his life, and he wouldn't let Jesus touch that root." Don't be like that. God needs your permission. As much as if you went to the dentist and you had a bad root and you needed him to do surgery on that root problem in your mouth, that surgeon's not going to touch that root until you sign the authorization form authorizing him to do the work on that root. God is the same way. He wants to take care of your root problem so that it doesn't become infected and end up destroying you. A root problem of the dental nature, if it's not dealt with, eventually the infection spreads. It goes to the bone, and it can eventually go up into the brain and kill a person. Don't let root problems in your life remain. God wants to remove them, but he asks for your permission, like he did with the rich young ruler. He'll point it out, but will you let him touch it? That's up to you. Make that decision today. Will you say, "God, go ahead, rake the roots of my heart, that I might have a pure heart before you, and I'll allow you to remove any of the roots that you see that are not good." God bless you. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it, no bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it, and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.